Some people love art. Many people love their pets and, of course, their partners and their families. But University of Michigan law professor and former Michigan U.S. attorney Barbara McQuaid also loves the law. And she's joining us now in WEMU to explain more about that and to talk about a few other things going on in our world right now. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lisa. Glad to be here.
You just finished being an advisor of part of the Joe Biden presidential transition team. Can you tell us about that at all?
Well, you know, the motto there is sort of like the Las Vegas Tourism Bureau, what happens in transition stays in transition. But I can tell you about process. And I think it would be really very comforting to most citizens to know about the process. It was really all just about good government. It was really very non-political. It was about making sure that the new administration had the benefit of information from the last administration. So I was focusing on the Justice Department, things like, you know, where are the key vacancies that will need to be filled right away? What are all the pending cases that will need action in the first 100 days when the new administration comes on board? How are you dealing with COVID? How are you making sure your employees are staying safe while continuing to fulfill the mission of the organization? So things like that. And it was really a wonderful opportunity and experience and reassured my confidence in government.
Speaking of government and the legal system, I recently read a statement where someone referred to America's broken legal system. Is it broken?
Well, that's a very broad statement. The entire thing? No. But can it be improved? Absolutely. I think there are a lot of areas where we need to take hard looks at things. Certainly, our criminal justice system has places where there is room for improvement. I think the lengthy delays that we sometimes see in bringing cases to conclusion, you know, we saw that, I think, during the Trump administration with his legal challenges to producing documents that he was able to drag out past the election. I think, you know, some of those are examples of places where there's certainly room for improvement.
I always think there's a lesson in everything. It sounds like that's sort of what you're saying as well. And what do you think we can learn from what happened at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th?
Boy, I think a number of things. One is taking seriously threats of violence from domestic extremist groups. Now, I'm going back now, you know, it's always easy to look with the 2020 vision of hindsight and say, how could they not see this coming? But how could they not see this coming? And I think a big part of it is that this is coming from white Christian people and there are biases in the system. I guarantee you if those same things had been said by people who are Muslims or some other minority, it would have been taken very, very seriously. And it's shocking to me that some of these threats were not taken seriously about what they planned to do in the Capitol. I think they were lulled from the experiences of having some other of these, you know, million MAGA marches where there was not violence. There was, just protests and some of the usual disorderly conduct that comes along with that. But they were sorely undermanned that day. I also hope that there is a lesson to be learned about lying to people about matters of public importance. I think that the last administration engaged in propagandizing disinformation about a stolen election without any evidence whatsoever. And we see that in the courts where truth actually matters, where all these legal challenges were dismissed for lack of evidence. But in the court of public opinion, people can be swayed by persuasive politicians and members of the media, and it has powerful consequences. All those people there that day, at least many of them, truly believed that the election had been stolen and that they were there to save democracy. So I think it's a good reminder that these words have consequences and we should hold our leaders accountable when they speak recklessly.
I'm curious, Barbara McQuaid, where were you when this was going down? Were you watching it unfold and what were you thinking?
Yeah, well, I was working in my little study at home and my husband came in and said, are you seeing this? What's going on? And he was working from our kitchen table. And so I went into the living room and just watched it unfolding on television. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, we all knew that there would be protests that day because there had been media reporting expecting it. But the idea that they actually breached the Capitol and got inside, were inside Nancy Pelosi's office and people lost their lives that day is just so awful. I mean, it's a historic day. Future generations will read about that day, you know, the way we read about the Civil War. And I hope that was, you know, we'll see what kind of turning point that was, a turning point where we took seriously some of our responsibilities to our democracy.
So we know you're always busy, but you have some exciting news about a new podcast that you started. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm working with three other lawyers on a podcast called Sisters in Law. We are all lawyers, and we got to know each other doing media commentary for NBC News and MSNBC. So Politicon runs it. They came to us and pitched this idea. Do you want to do this podcast with these other three fantastic lawyers called Sisters in Law? And I jumped at the chance because I have great respect for them. It's Joyce Dance, who is the former U.S. attorney in Northern Alabama, Jill Wine Banks, who was a Watergate prosecutor, and Kimberly Atkins, originally from Detroit, now a reporter for the Boston Globe and their Washington Bureau. And we talk about legal issues in the news. And I think, you know, our goal is to address smart people who might not be lawyers, to just help understand and process what's going on in the law. I think we have far more information than ever before, but I think because we're bombarded with so much of it, what people seem to really be yearning for is just some analysis. Help us make sense of all this crazy information in the news. And so that's our goal. We'll talk about a couple of legal topics in the news in hopes of just kind of helping people to process and understand it.
So the podcast is called Sisters in Law. It took me a minute, but I got it. I thought, well, that is a great name. And who are you targeting? Just your average everyday citizen or people who work in law enforcement?
You know, I think lawyers will enjoy it, but it's also targeted at non-lawyers. So just, you know, smart people who care about the news and maybe understanding and making some sense of it. But we try to be very accessible. You know, we're not very wonky, so you don't have to be a lawyer to understand what we're talking about. We answer listener questions, and we get great questions, and so we try to answer a few of those, too, and that really helps inform the topics that we talk about, because people, if we get a lot of people writing in saying, can you please tell us more about, you know, the judicial selection process or sexual harassment or whatever it is, that's a good cue for us that this is a topic that maybe a lot of people want to hear about.
One of the things you recently discussed was double standards for women in public life and their own experiences navigating sexism in the law. How did that one go?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. What prompted it was the confirmation hearings of Neera Tanden, whose nomination has now been withdrawn. She was asked a lot of hard questions and ultimately defeated in her nomination to be the head of the Office of Management and Budget because of mean tweets. Now, I don't condone mean tweets. I think mean tweets are not a great thing in public life. But the double standard there, not only President Trump, who is, you know, the mean tweeter in chief, but many other male nominees who had come before and been confirmed, including Mike Pompeo, Ryan Zinke, and other cabinet officials who had said very similar things on their Twitter feeds. And so to say that was a reason to not hold, confirm her struck me as perhaps pretextual and at the very least a double standard. But it was interesting. You know, we usually have a conversation the day before we record to kind of kick around ideas and figure out what we're going to talk about. And we said, you know, everybody started mentioning their own experiences with double standards or sexism in their own careers. And so it gave us an opportunity to share some more stories about you know, what it's like to be a woman in the trenches in the law.
So are you hoping these podcast conversations will shed some light on that and perhaps bring some eventual resolution to problems like that?
Yeah, you know, I think information is power. And so when people hear about these things, I think one thing that's really interesting is I've often been in groups and, you know, is you and I are both white women. And so we are in the majority on race and the underrepresented group when it comes to gender in some professions, certainly in the law, I imagine in broadcast media for you. And so I think it gives us a perspective of what it's like to be in both of those situations. And I've often been in rooms, you know, diversity training and other kinds of things where they ask, how many think that there's sexism in our workplace? And most of the men will say no, and most of the women will say yes. Or similarly, how many people think there's racism in our organization? And most of the white people will say no, and most of the minority people will say yes. And it's interesting because I think that some of the, you know, good people of the majority group are just simply, blithely unaware of some of the issues that go on and some of the hardships that underrepresented groups face. And so I'm hopeful that by raising awareness, all people, not only other women, but other men will say that's unacceptable and will work to be allies to try to improve conditions for everybody so that the opportunities are there for all of us and nobody has to face hostility in the workplace or in the courtroom.
So what's next for Barb McQuaid?
Well, I'm quite happy right where I am. You know, I'm teaching at the University of Michigan Law School, which I enjoy very much. Being around law students who are idealistic and energized to try to make a difference in the world is a really wonderful privilege. And I feel like I'm really having a positive impact on them. You know, they yearn for information. I'm able to provide them with guidance and help in discerning their career goals, connecting them with opportunities. And it's really enjoyable. So I'm quite happy right where I am. And I feel like, what I want to do at this point in my career is find a place where I have an impact. And I feel like I'm doing that at the University of Michigan Law School.
And where can we hear the podcast?
You can hear the podcast anywhere you get your podcast, Lisa. You look for hashtag sisters-in-law, and we're on all the major platforms.
Barbara McQuaid, always great to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Lisa. You too.